Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am your father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the war room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 169. It's like 69, but 100 times better.
That was good.
Thank you. Yeah. I've waited 100 episodes to tell that joke.
169 episodes.
Yeah, 169 episodes. Well, I had the thought in episode 69. Yeah.
Okay.
And so now I don't want to ruin it. I have a great joke for 269.
Yeah. I appreciate you think we're going to get there.
I just got to wait 100.
Just don't even. Right.
I don't want to give it away.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I can't wait for it.
It's just
a year or so from now.
It's just percolating.
You have 100 episodes to punch it up.
I'm going to light it up, if you will. I'm going to go to the clubs. I'm going to workshop it. I think by 269.
Was that the Seinfeld flick, the documentary where he's trying to like make a new act?
Yeah.
And it's like heartbreaking to watch him just fail miserably.
Yeah, it's him. And then it's also got like an up and coming comedian who's already kind of like already being a douche.
Oh, great.
Because he wants to be like the next Seinfeld.
Oh.
Was it The Comedian?
Yeah, it's called The Comedian.
Yeah.
Is it a real documentary?
Yeah, it's really him. It's him going to like small clubs trying to work a new act.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's how a comedian would build his act.
But it sucked.
And he's got his notes.
Well, I mean, he doesn't have any good, he doesn't know what's going to hit or what's going to miss. So he's missing a lot.
Like, that's how you build an act.
Part
of what makes Louis C.K. so great is he does like a new hour every year, and he's done it for like 6 or 7 years now.
Yep.
And that's unheard of for a comedian to churn that much material, because normally they'll start at the clubs, they'll workshop it, they'll get it good, then they'll once it's tight, they'll go out and they'll tour on that for a year and a half, two years. Then they film an HBO special.
Right.
By the time they film the special, they're done with that act, and they've already kind of got the next act worked up.
Right.
It's cool. People just saw really the special. They don't want to listen to the same jokes.
Yeah, it's a really interesting process.
It's not easy. And so he does it. He does a whole new set every year. And I've read the way he does it is, you basically have your A stuff, your B stuff, your C stuff. And the way it's supposed to work is you open with B, you go into C, and then you close with A. Like, that's the way it's supposed to work. And so, and what he does is he does B, C, A, and then when he feels like he gets A tight and where he wants it, he pulls A out of his act. He won't let himself do it. And then B moves into the A slot, C moves into the B slot,
new stuff,
and he's got to do new stuff in the C slot. And then when he feels like what was formerly B, which now resides in the A slot, is truly A level, he shifts it all around again.
Good Lord.
And
so you just described the produce department.
Yeah,
right. Grocery store.
So what does he do
with the A stuff? Does he just save that?
And then he banks it. And then when he feels like he's got three kind of A or close to A, like that or that level,
right,
then he takes that and he makes a special.
Man.
And then he's got this other stuff. And then he's just constantly doing
that. I guess
that.
When you're that funny, though, and that smart,
yeah,
you can do stuff like that.
I think it helps that he's bilingual.
Do you think that's what it is?
I really do. I think that, like, he was raised, I think, in Mexico until he was, like, 8.
Oh, really?
And he's I think his native language is Spanish. And then he moved to America, I think, when he was, like, 7 or 8. I'm spitballing. It's from an article I read a long time ago. So if there's any Louis C.K. diehards out there and I'm off about a couple years, like, blow me.
Is that why his last name is C.K.?
Yeah, because his last name is, like, something, like, really hard to say. And so...
No, you say it's C.K., but it looks crazy. His last name is C.K.
Right.
S-E-A-I-J.
Is that how you say it?
Oh, yeah. You say it C.K., so he shortened it to C.K.
I didn't realize you actually pronounced
it
that
spelling.
Way. Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't know what nationality that is, but maybe, you know, he has some foreign parents.
But I think, I think that's part of why great comics, they see the world differently. And I think that's why. I think he got here late.
That's true.
You know? And so, like, he has that
when you look at him, he doesn't... You'd think that he was not raised in Mexico.
Yeah. Maybe and I could be wrong, but I thought it was... It's something, like, Spanish in origin. You know?
I would have expected... I mean, all the great comedians from that part of the country are usually like, ha, beaner. Ha, ha, it's a beaner.
I mean, they don't really have any... I mean, I guess George Lopez was their guy for a while. And then who was the guy before that? He had a show on...
Carlos Mencia.
Yeah.
Those are the ones I'm mainly referring to.
We've got the mainstream.
Well, actually, if you're going to go before that, it's Pablo...
Francisco?
No, Paul Rodriguez.
Yes.
He had a sitcom called My Name is Pablo.
Yeah.
And Paul Rodriguez was like kind of the big breakthrough.
He was.
I just never thought Carlos Mencia was funny. All he would do is be like, haha, the beaners. Yeah. Fat and lazy beaners. Like, yeah. This is not funny. You made right, sense. Like,
except for when he was stealing other people's stuff. That was just,
Like Dane Cook. He was funny in that.
Oh, my God.
Period.
Did you ever see that? I think it was an episode of
Louis C.K.
They have a sit down with Dane Cook, and he's like, Dane Cook is. I have a feeling Dane Cook probably isn't a douche, but like he definitely played up the douche role on Louis C.K.
It was great.
Yeah. I don't know if that was the... Because he had a show on HBO.
It's not that one. It's the new one. It's season one of the FX show.
Okay. That one on HBO was tough.
Because it was like an old school sitcom.
It was.
And they did it in front of a live studio audience. And
also
it just didn't like... And when he wanted to get into the darker stuff, it just didn't work.
Right.
Because you could feel the crowd like, just being like, what are we doing? You know?
Is this funny?
Yeah.
Am I supposed to laugh?
Yeah. Because it was like... It wanted to be almost like The Honeymooners, but like a newer version.
Yep.
And it was like... They lived in this really rundown apartment.
It was all... It was all like... Same deal like Roseanne.
Yeah.
There was like one stagnant shot on this apartment.
Yeah. But it was shot almost like a play. It was shot like The Honeymooners where it felt like it was recorded live. Like a lot of... When you... Those old Honeymooners episodes, what they refer to as the classic 39.
Ooh.
Those were live television. Like they didn't, you know, people don't realize they were making Honeymooners episodes off and on into the early 70s.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Like there were maybe in 75, like there was
really,
like, there was a Christmas special, a musical Christmas special in color.
Oh, wow.
From like 1975 with like Jackie Gleason.
Man, I had no idea.
He probably got another bite at that apple just because
Smokey
and the Bandit was so popular. And so they were like, oh, bring back your classic character.
Did they bring back was it everybody or just him?
It was him. And it was always him and Art Carney.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was typically Audrey Meadows.
Yeah. It's
and Joyce Randolph was Trixie.
Okay.
And she kind of came in and out. But Audrey Meadows was not the original Alice Cramden. So they originally didn't want. She wanted to do it. They thought she was too pretty. And so
weird.
Yeah. So she had to like ugly herself up.
Well, he just and then punched her a few times.
Yeah. Sure,
turned her face in a hamburger meat.
Yeah. They had to get it replaced because the other one was on the moon. She's on the
finally,
moon. I'll tell you what. It's 1955. We can't get her back yet.
That day happened.
Yeah. That's why Kennedy wanted to go to the moon.
Because
he had to bring back Alice Cramden. It was a very popular show, and they wanted to bring her back.
Gotta bring her back.
Yeah. But actually, it was the other thing that's interesting about those old Honeymooners episodes is that a lot of them, those episodes, they weren't full-length episodes. Like, they were sketches within the Jackie Gleason show that were cut out and just shown as Honeymooners episodes, especially when you start getting into Showtime in the 80s. Jackie Gleason had found all these old Honeymooners episodes, and basically what he had found was old Jackie
the lost episodes. Yeah,
and basically what he had found was old Jackie Gleason episodes, and he would remove the Honeymooners stuff
and just
pull them all out, because up till then there were only 39. That's why it's called the classic 39, because those are the ones that ran in syndication for years, which 39 episodes is not enough to syndicate. Normally the magic number, historically, it's different now because there's so many cable, but back when there was like every city had like one or two independent channels and then three networks, the magic number for syndication was 100.
Right.
And so that shows you the quality of the show, that people were like, well, there's only 39 of them, but they're so good, we'll take it.
Right, right.
And so he found all these, sold them to Showtime, and then was like, oh, I can put the Honeymooners back into syndication easier now, because now I've got like 200 episodes.
Right. Look at that. So, slick.
Yeah, it's pretty, yeah.
Slick.
And they were like old kinescopes, which are...
Those are like hard. You can't clean those up, can you?
I mean, now you probably could, because they can, you know, the computers are magic.
Yeah.
But back then, now in kinescopes, it's, even then, there's only so much you can do, because a kinescope was, they would literally point a camera at a TV. And so only reason kinescopes exist is because they would do these shows live, and they would do them live for the East Coast and the Midwest. But the West Coast was so far behind of the East Coast, because TV was based in New York at this point.
Sure.
And so in order to not have to do the show twice, they would turn a camera at a monitor, film the monitor, and then air that on the West Coast.
They had no way to record onto film, or, you know, like, instead of filming a monitor, they couldn't have just filmed it and recorded.
How would you have gotten it to the West Coast?
They could have played it back.
There's a comic book called Satellite Sam that just wrapped up probably about 6 months ago by Matt Fraction and Howard Chaykin. It's a murder mystery, but it's based in like TV in the 50s.
Right.
So like they talk about they go into so much detail about the making of this, kind of like a what's the movie with the Queen soundtrack, not the Highlander, the other one. Flash Gordon. It's almost like
Metropolis.
No, yeah. It's almost like a Flash Gordon kind of style space show.
Okay,
but it's also Matt Fraction did so much research on like how they were doing TV at that point that they talk about. You know, we're going live in 10 minutes and we don't have a star.
Right.
So they get like the guy's son to come in and like do like I got hit by a de-aging ray and now he looks like this. it's a really good comic. But yeah,
I read Ted Koppel's biography about Nightline, and he was talking about even in Nightline they would like get footage on film reels, and then they would have to fly. This is how they were doing Nightline at the very beginning during the Iran hostage situation, and they would get that footage, they would buy a plane ticket for it, and then someone would actually sit with it and fly, because the canisters were so big you couldn't hold them.
Right.
You would put the canisters on a seat, and then someone would sit in the other seat, and they were literally flying it back so they could process the film and get it up in time for the show. Where nowadays it's like
here, I'm gonna send it to you on my phone.
I took it on my phone.
Right, yeah. Well,
and it looks better than what they were doing.
It was film, and this is pre-nonlinear editing.
Yeah.
So they basically, I mean, you had to splice film together.
Yep.
Nonlinear editing is the 70s. That's when it kind of came to the forefront. So that's why that's the main reason is like, they would have to either redo the show live again, or, you know, they could try to edit it, and there's no way they were going to edit it in time.
On the fly.
Right, so they're just like, well, it's going live like this, so we're going to assume all the blocking and the camera moves and everything's right, and
That's so, like, it sounds so archaic.
Yeah, they could record that.
Because it was archaic.
Yeah. Right.
But what you're saying is, like, why not just record the show? It's because they couldn't edit it in time.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it was a different time. That's why kinescopes look so like watery and washed out.
Yeah, ghosted.
Yeah.
Better when they filmed on kaleidoscopes.
Yes,
the Viewmasters.
That was the 70s.
I think. The kaleidoscopes were in the 60s. Yeah. Everybody was tripping. So here's a thought. We should go around the table and everybody can introduce themselves.
Oh, yeah.
We're only 10 minutes in.
Yeah. This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Let me real quick do some shameless plugs before we get into the numbers. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate and review and subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. Helps us a lot. We haven't had a review in a while, you lazy bastards. So you should get on that. You should make that a priority.
You think we've peaked?
Maybe
it's time to.
I think it's time to pack
all
it
maybe
in.
After the yeah. next episode, or yeah. so we just
no, let's
just
not even do the. Guys. That, I think that's the lesson that they need to learn: that you don't get the Superman movie.
No, that's it. That's our. Yeah. You don't get it unless you subscribe.
How about this?
That's if right. we don't five more reviews,
if we don't get another review by next week. No Superman.
No Superman.
What do you think about that?
Yep.
That's what we call.
We're
tough
gonna
love.
We're gonna record it.
We'll record it and put it in the vault for like years and years.
We'll record it and yeah, like Jackie Gleason.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like what the day the clown laughed or whatever. What's that
the,
movie?
The day the clown cried. Right.
Yeah,
yeah. Which is supposed to be coming out.
Is it? Really?
That
it
he's
is.
Supposedly signed a deal that it's going to be like in the next 2 or 3 years. So
wow.
He's just turned 90 this week.
Wow.
So is it after upon his death?
It didn't sound like that was the deal. Like it was, you know. So it sounded like it was just like 2 or 3 years from now.
Hmm.
But I don't know, because the Day the Clown Cried is a Jerry Lewis movie, for people that don't know what we're talking about. He directed it, and it's a completed film, but it's supposed to be like mind-bogglingly bad and offensive, because the premise of the film, if you don't know, is that Jerry Lewis plays a clown who is conscripted into service for the Nazis, and his job is do they use his clown antics to get the children to go into the gas chambers peacefully.
Like, so what studio is like, yep,
sounds
great. Idea.
You gotta remember, it's at one point, Jerry Lewis was a major A-list star.
I guess, and I would consider that like...
And he considered a film like the cinephile, like was considered like a great director.
Watch your mouth.
And and so like he could get a movie like that made. And so it's part of the problem, it's been locked up for so long, is one, it's supposedly really bad, and that, and it's very jarring, because apparently the dramatic scenes are very dramatic, but then when he does his clown stuff, it's
wacky,
it's traditional Jerry Lewis shtick,
right?
Hey lady, and uh-huh. you know, and but also like he was having trouble getting the film into production, and supposedly he got the film. He started production like 2 days after his option on the book it's based on expired. And so he didn't actually have the rights secured.
Oh.
He completed the film. And then I think when the author saw the film, he was like, I am not re-optioning this for you.
Whoa.
And then it just sat. Supposedly it's locked inside a briefcase, and that briefcase is locked inside a vault. So
what we don't know is the film has completely been deteriorated over time.
They open it up and it's going to be like dust.
Yeah.
That would suck.
And then it'll like be Capone's just like vault. In Raiders, and everybody's face explodes.
Yeah.
So don't look.
Don't look. Whatever you do.
So anyway.
Yeah.
Tangent within a tangent. Go there, rate and review, and subscribe to us. We also didn't get a chance to do our League of Show Shares last week, so let's blow through a couple of them for this week to let people thank people for sharing the show.
Indeed.
Yeah. Just to be clear, I'm not going to blow the League of Show Shares. I'm grateful, but I'm not that grateful. So.
Yeah, just.
So here we go. Timmy Two Zooms, Linnea Thunsel.
Linnea. Every time you think it's the right way to say it the other way.
That's what I did.
Linnea.
So, Linnea, you're going to have to change the pronunciation of your name. Sorry. If you want to stay a listener, we're just price that you have
If you want
to
get the Batman versus Superman episode,
what you,
do. You need to change
it. Don't blame.
That's going to be our request or our command for
at
every
least for a
single.
Week.
Yeah. So, Brett Schulte. Lane Levanway, Travis Tewitt, Julianne Jordan, Chris Sanders, Brent Smith, Jason Herndon, Tammy Sherman Powers, Jason Antrus.
That might be a new one.
I think he's shared a time or two before, but I'm probably mispronounced his name then too. Librarian Cynthia, Ryan Bridenbecker, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Tom Kaminsky, and Orlandez Lewis.
Hey!
Shared the episode he was on, which is, well, he should. So
And Pranav.
I didn't see him in the list of people that shared this week,
James
but we
Bond,
owe him
not
one.
James
he's
Bond,
not a
James Bond guy.
So we got a question from the guy who I think is our James Bond guy.
You think everybody is our James Bond guy.
But, like, he brought up a good point. When he asked about Indiana Jones, and it's just like, it's going to be awful. Like,
well,
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is going to be was awful.
And they hired the same guy to write. Like, what the hell?
It was a complete mess.
Wait a minute. The same guy's writing
the same
five
guy.
As four?
Yep.
Yes.
I have not seen that since
it's
theaters.
Awful.
I just don't.
I own it because I own that.
It comes in a box.
It comes in a box.
I have to rewatch it. I think I'm curious to see if they're going to, like, age him. Like, have him
they're
be
have
sort
to.
Of
well, supposedly it's going to be a standalone adventure
yeah
as opposed to what
I guess they're not going to try and tie in any mythology or anything. It's just going to be
that's fine.
It's going to be more like Temple of Doom, like they didn't
say,
really
weren't like
it was like it was just like Indiana Jones, go.
Well, and like, always, but weren't the other, like all three of those original ones never really tied together, did
well,
they?
Well,
I think they tried to, like,
they would cross-reference.
Yeah, and you'd get back, you know,
Last Crusade made that, like,
you meet his dad, and, like, you know, you find out why he's called Indiana Jones. We called the dog Indiana. Like, you know, like, I get the feeling that they're not going to do that. It's just going to be straight-ahead action.
I mean, we haven't heard if Lucas is involved in this or not.
Was he involved in Crystal Skull?
Absolutely.
Oh,
for some reason,
he called the shots. Darabont wrote the original script. Lucas nixed a lot of it. But a lot of the stuff, like, everybody still gets in a twist over the fridge thing, which I think is kind of like, it's really...
That to me was Indiana Jones. Like, I didn't feel...
Like, yeah, I was like,
that
wait
was
a minute.
Indiana Jones?
As,
like, that's...
as I previously mentioned about the face melting, you know, it's sort of like, wait, that's the thing that's going to get you all worked up?
Right.
But
Lucas, it was the aliens that I jumped.
Yeah, like, that's where I was like, what?
Like,
I don't know. Like, I feel like Indiana Jones is, like, not street level. Like, when you start throwing aliens, like, that means that he can go against... Like, let's just have him fight Jason Voorhees while we're at it.
There was a knight who was, like, 2,000 years old.
He drank from the Holy Grail. you saw the arc open up and melt people's faces. Like, you've done with some supernatural stuff.
True.
But I will say, up till now, all the supernatural stuff had been biblically based.
Yes.
Right.
And so, injecting aliens into the equation just felt...
Weird.
It didn't feel right.
Well, this was the Mormon Bible.
I think they were also...
See, Joseph Smith actually
Do I have to issue an apology now?
And also because...
drinking caffeine during the entire time.
Because of Schindler's List, Spielberg was not going to go back and make
Nazi
bad guys. He wasn't.
Yeah.
He's weren't like, they Nazis? Wasn't she a Nazi?
No.
Oh.
They were Russians.
Oh.
And wasn't going to go back...
But it would have made sense to do Nazis at that point. He's too old to be fighting Nazis.
Right, exactly.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the fourth movie they weren't
in? The fourth
movie.
Yeah.
I think in this one he's so old he's fighting hippies.
Wow.
This is more power Indiana to Jones
you.
5 and the get
it's
the hell
hipsters.
Off my lawn.
He's just hitting him with a cane.
Anyone with a curly mustache or a big beard.
Yeah. I mean, it's surprising, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if Lucas's non-involvement
I don't think he can.
Makes it
be
better.
I guess if he sold it.
Yeah, he sold Indiana Jones and Star Wars. Like, that's the whole...
Yeah, but they... If you remember when they announced Star Wars, they were kind of like... And people were like, and Indiana Jones? And they're like, meh. Like,
maybe.
They didn't really own up to or say much about it.
Yeah.
Because
it turned out they had a coupon.
And so
they only got it for $2 billion.
You had to throw in Indiana Jones.
Well, this was after the fourth movie, right?
Yeah.
That's why they got the coupon.
Yeah.
Like, well, we'll throw in this for free.
I saw that in theaters and they thought it was awful.
So almost the same day they announced that they're going to do this new fifth Indiana Jones, there's a picture of George Lucas eating it, like, at Panda Express in Australia, you know?
He's like
in
a mall, in
the food court.
Like, sitting by himself in a corner, eating, like, nom, nom.
I used to be somebody. He's about 2 years away from just doing Wizard World appearances.
he'd be a great attraction.
I think once Stan Lee's dead, it's going to be Lucas.
And Stan Lee's out, so
I think he's done.
Well, I saw that article that said it was his last con appearance ever. It was if you read the fine print, it was his last Canadian.
Thought that it was his last appearance.
That's what I thought too.
Clickbait.
I just don't want him to die
on stage
or you know during the photo op
you'll be that guy.
I mean, I'm very happy with our photo op photo but I just feel for like the family who
if
thinks
Stan
that's
Lee
a good
dies,
idea and he's like oh,
if
oh,
Stan Lee
no.
dies do you get your money back or do you have to pay extra?
You pay extra.
Do they print the thing out and give it to you? Is the question.
You just don't want to be like Excelsior.
Enough said. I really hope it's somebody that's dressed as
Spider-Man,
Doc Ock.
Even better.
No, he's like standing over. Hang on, get one of me over his carcass with my
Green Goblin
arms going.
Green Goblin.
It's a whole cast of villains.
Yeah,
just like Mysterio's there.
Just don't want that.
The Sinister Six is all standing over him.
That'd just be
or Mysterio's there, and then there's a poof of smoke, and he's just gone. The body's gone. It's just
we're not sure if he died or not.
Yeah. And we never see him again.
Never see him again. Disappeared.
So anyway, that's our shameless plugs. We should probably
is this show about movies.
It is about movies. So we should probably turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin, has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
Hold on, I have to wake the computer up.
I know. His abacus fell
asleep. Well, you know, at least if this show doesn't go any further and we don't do Batman Superman, we have a backdoor pilot for our stand up comedy behind the scenes show.
That's true.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll just have that edited and ready to go. This weekend at the box office, it was a close call. No, it wasn't. Zootopia, number one, with $40 million, a 22% drop in week three.
Wow, that's amazing.
That movie is at $203.7 million domestic.
Disney feature animation is just on a roll.
Yeah, do they say what's next for them? Mm. Have they announced
I think that all the creatives are going to dive into their Scrooge McDuck vault of money first, swim around a little bit.
We saw how that works in Gods of Egypt.
That's
it works out wonderfully.
That would explain why we're getting DuckTales reboot.
Right, and then
is there really a DuckTales reboot?
Yeah. A show on like Disney XD something? Or,
yeah.
But anyway, $326.9 million foreign, so it's up over $500 million worldwide in 3 weeks.
That's crazy.
$500 million.
That's great. I mean, it deserves it.
It's great. I went and saw it. You know, you guys did the episode while I was on vacation, and then I came back and saw it and loved it.
So
I
mean, here's
it
a, so you so which good. Which one were you at Disney
World?
Did you
Florida.
See any Zootopia stuff?
Oh yeah, the monorail is wrapped in Zootopia.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The monorail is like red and white, and they've wrapped it, and all the characters are in the windows from Zootopia. So yeah.
What
and
I thought is inappropriate is the tunnel is wrapped in a flashlight.
Yeah. Well,
I thought that was not appropriate for a park like
that. Well, that's it. Well, you know,
clever. I will grant them.
Yeah.
I will grant them.
I mean, when you go
might be
like
our first flashlight joke
in between the properties, you know, it's kind of vague.
Oh, you're in
like,
between the properties.
But then, and then there's the, if you go to Hollywood Studios, there's like, that exhibit on Walt and the history of Walt Disney.
Yeah.
Growing
that's
up.
Going away.
Is it? Okay.
Well,
they're showing in the theater there like a 5 or 10 minute sneak peek of Zootopia.
Do they have any of like the characters walking around? Or
no,
is it just...
no characters yet, but just those two things.
I'm just
kind of
curious, like if
that would be a big Animal Kingdom thing.
I guess it's probably
they need
true,
something
yeah.
in that park. They're working on it, but yeah.
That Everest ride is really fun.
Did they fix the
really fun?
Not yet. Did they fix the Yeti?
No.
What's wrong with the Yeti?
He doesn't
move.
He's supposed to move. He's supposed to swipe at you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's still kind of creepy the first time you look up, and he's like it looks. Looks like he's 1 inch away from your face. Like he's over the car.
Now they just put a strobe light on it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
He's supposed to swipe at you. He's supposed to be animatronic when you go up, and then he swipes at you, and then you do the ride again backwards.
That is a fun ride, though.
Yeah.
I did that a couple times.
I got sick when I went on it. In my defense, I was there with my ex-wife.
Oh,
she was
yeah.
my ex-wife at the time.
Oh, right?
That would be weird.
Enough said.
Yeah. And I take medicine every day, just a tetracycline, because I have... skin and so her meds looked remarkably similar to my tetracycline, and so I had been taking and didn't know it, and was like, and I was just like the whole day I just felt kind of weird, and I was just like you know, and then she's like, how come I'm missing? I could have swore I brought enough for the whole week, and I was like,
oh no.
And then it clicked, and I was like, oh, so that's why the ride made me nauseous. Because I didn't normally get nauseous on rides like that, and it's not that crazy of a ride.
I did that one 3 times in a row.
Yeah.
We got the day we were there, it was like towards the end of the day, and everyone had already gone to Epcot for fireworks or whatever, and we kind of finished out on Animal Kingdom, and it was a 0 minute wait. So I did it 3 times in a row.
Yeah.
And then Ryan loved it so much that he went back with my mom and grandma while me and Katie did something else, a different park.
What did you guys do?
Just to ride.
Yeah, they did.
Well, I can't tell you that, but they went back to Animal Kingdom just to ride that.
Ryan
2.0. We're not going to name it the same name.
That's what the 2.0 is for.
It's totally different.
You put two N's on the end, it's a girl's name.
And an I somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But they went back, and it was like a 45-minute wait. They went back just because Ryan wanted to ride that ride, and we had a 0-minute wait before, and they're like, you know.
When I was there last time, I was doing the Rock and Roller Coaster, and so... The boys didn't want to do it, and there was 3 of us, because there was me and Crystal and her daughter Sydney, and so I was like, well, I'll just do single rider,
because
it'll be quicker. And so I did single rider. They put us in, and they put us to sit next to this girl, and she was probably about 15-16, and they're like they sound the thing. It was the Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster. And right as it gets ready to start, I'm like, whew, I hope I don't get sick again. And she's like, what?
That's awesome.
I'm like, just added a little tension to the ride.
Yeah. Oh, no, give me off the ride right now.
I will say, the older I get, the more nauseous those rides make me. Dan, are you experiencing this?
Well, I mean, anything that would normally make me not, I mean, if you go back to things like the Scrambler and like Tom's Twister, which
how about
old,
Harry Potter? Castle ride, thing.
That's such a smooth ride. It doesn't bother me at all.
Most people, it makes them sick, and it didn't the first time. But I made the mistake of we did the like child swap thing, and so I went on a second time.
So you didn't bring Ryan home?
Oh crap! I got to go back. But so I got.
No wonder this kid won't listen.
The child swap thing is great. Like if it basically you get two rides for the price of one because you go with your other party, and then when you swap whoever's holding the child, they don't just make them go by themselves. You can bring two or three people with you, and then just one other person watches the kid. So you get two rides. So I went back on Harry Potter, the Hogwarts Castle ride. The Escape from Gringotts is awesome. That one's not bad. But the one that makes everyone sick, you go through the castle kind of sideways. It's like Haunted Mansion style where the car is turned sideways and then you look at a bunch of video screens.
Yeah. It's like a mixture of like of all rides because it's like part coaster, part dark ride, part simulator. It's like you hit you. It's like three different rides in one. It's easily the best ride I've ever been on my life.
It's a great example of like what modern technology, like a ride in modern times is. And those things are, you're actually on the robot arms that they use to assemble automobiles.
Okay.
You're on one of those that your like cabin is attached to one of those, and then that thing is on rails.
Yeah,
wow,
and it's cool.
So
and
there's
feels
a lot of like this kind
of
like,
they flip you up and down and around. It's like being a girl in a porno. I mean, what's a porno?
What's a porno?
What?
I don't even know
what that means.
What's a prawn?
But it really is amazing when you feel like you're flying through the Harry Potter world. You know, you feel like you're actually flying, and so that's why your senses are all off because it's so realistic. And then I think you land back in the real world.
Like,
and I went on a second time, you know, to go with my grandma. And Katie's like, I'm going to sit this one out. And then my mom went on it too the second time. And it didn't bother her. But as soon as the robot arm lifted us up to go on the first flight, I go, and nothing happened. I shouldn't have gone the second time.
I think the Batman roller coaster is the one where, like, I usually save that like at Six Flags, and that's like a suspended loopy loop.
You get your dangly feet.
Because like if it's a straightforward like roller coaster that just goes fast in one direction, I had zero problems. If it's a roller coaster that starts to throw in a lot of inverted loops
spins,
and stuff like that, I save that for the end, and that's one like I can never do like two times in a row.
Right?
Like I can do it once, and I'm like, whoa, that's good.
When you were younger, though,
I would keep going.
You didn't have that problem at all.
No,
right? So,
but you know what it is?
What you have to look forward to.
So your scope of what you can do starts to narrow, and you have to be more strategic about what you do and when.
Like, Dan's at the point where when he goes to Disney World, it's just Ellen's Energy Adventure.
God!
I'll tell you what,
because that people mover, never again.
I'll tell you what, we only did Ellen's Energy Adventure once, which is enough for a lifetime. But that was
Here's what surprises me: you did Ellen's Energy Adventure and you're not still on it.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
It's like a 90 minute ride.
I took my shoes off, and that was the best footrester I had the entire trip.
It's a great rest ride. Like if you're tired and you don't want to just sit somewhere, and especially if it's hot, like because it's air conditioned, like it's a great resting ride. But it's like, but that sweet baby Jesus, that ride goes on
takes
forever.
And it is terrible.
I rode it.
Jokes are just terrible.
Oh, it's awful.
It is not funny.
The last time I rode it with my family, I remember looking down the row and everybody was asleep.
It is just,
the entire family were like, oh god.
We almost walked out. When you wait to board, there's this, like this Jeopardy segment that Ellen falls asleep and she's on Jeopardy. And it's all about like
she's
energy.
She's not the only one falling asleep.
And we
Alex Trebek
left.
Has dark hair.
And we almost left. Bill Nye is like 12. And like
weird.
We almost
Jeopardy
left.
Jeopardy segment is hosted by Don Pardo. That's how old it is.
But we just like we went to the exit and they're like, oh, this is only a couple more minutes, then you're gonna go on the ride. And we're like, okay, but like, it was so bad we're like, we gotta get out of here.
They're trying to keep that one.
I think because it has such a large capacity and it keeps people occupied for so long. It's a way to alleviate pressure off other points of the park.
It keeps everybody out of mission space and test track.
It's a total strategy ride
but
for
you know
crowd
what?
Management.
Why not just turn that instead of energies, oh my gosh, energy and how
into something
how can we,
fun?
Or how about like Dinosaur Adventure and just add some more dinosaur stuff? Because I was like, that's kind of cool. Why don't they just make it all about the little dinosaur ride?
And they probably will, so it's just not a priority.
Well, it's one of the last holdovers from the edutainment days. series of
Epcot.
Yeah,
that's true. So we should probably blow through these.
Yeah,
so
was there a second
number
movie?
Two? Was there any? Did any other movies come out this week that could get, we could talk about?
Zootopia. Actually, they just did different languages, and it's one through ten. Yeah.
Did you see that they for each country when they got to the news? It was a different animal for each country.
Oh, that's cool.
I thought that was kind of like Canada had like a moose.
And
Japan had a bear or a panda bear. Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that was cool. Number two, the Divergent series, Allegiant. Thank goodness. Number two with $29 million.
They got to be hating that.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
And
don't make a shitty movie.
They're locked into a fourth crappy movie.
Did they do this like? Do they film both at the same time?
Yeah, but they made this decision a long time ago, and now they like that's not even recouping their marketing.
No.
I bet.
Oh, you know? Not even close.
That's nothing.
And so like that movie's on pace to maybe not even do $100 million.
No, it's what's going to get smoked next week.
Yeah, and like, so there's a good chance that movie's going to stall out around $75 or $80 million.
Probably.
And, like Divergent 4 should just go straight to VOD.
Yeah,
yeah.
They said that she's the next. Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, you know who said that?
Like,
you know who said that?
She did.
Her publicist.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Jennifer Lawrence has like two Oscars to her name, right? Like, she's not just Katniss Everdeen.
Yeah.
Like, that's not who
she's
she is.
She's a really good actress.
She was good in
The Way Back or whichever one that was.
No, in the cancer
Spectacular
movie.
Now?
No, she was in the... Was she in the Spectacular
yeah.
Now, too? Oh, she was great in that.
Yeah.
But she was in the cancer movie.
Oh, yeah, where she had cancer.
Fault in Our Stars.
Yes, yeah. She's not a bad actress. It's just she hasn't
really
done anything since... These movies came out.
Yeah. I thought she was isn't the spectacular
the
now
girlfriend.
With Miles Teller.
Yeah,
she is really good.
She
in
was
that.
Really good in that. But I just don't think that she's quite.
No.
She is the poor man's Jennifer.
Yes,
Lawrence.
But I also and I think we said this back. At least I said this back on the first Divergent movies. I don't buy her as an action star.
Nope.
Yeah. I think she's a
especially
sweet
now.
Little high school girl, you know. I mean, she was good in those other movies as a young, you know, just teenager role. But she's just not an action star.
Nope.
I don't buy it. I just don't. She's not badass. Like, Jennifer Lawrence can be an X-Men and Kick-Ass.
Yep.
And she's also a tremendous actress.
Like, Jennifer Lawrence was in Kick-Ass?
She was.
Yeah. And Kick-Ass.
That's new.
She's the girlfriend.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
She's not the girlfriend.
Yeah.
Isn't that like Imogene Poots or something?
Sure, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, so
do you
yeah,
have that... to put in a chicken noise when you say Poots?
Yeah. So that was a movie that came out. Number three, Miracles from Heaven, made $12.3 million. Tom, that was our other choice this week.
We almost did that one.
So,
that could have been fun.
Could have been good. Could have been fun.
We're going to see a crappy movie either way.
Yeah. Well, we certainly, it had to have been more fun than this one, but. So anyway, $12.3 million. I don't think I have a budget on that one, but
$30.
Yeah.
$30. All right.
Jennifer Garner had to get paid something. Nothing says Ben Affleck
is doing as Batman.
There's nothing says Ben Affleck finalizes divorce before Batman versus right. Superman quite like Jennifer Garner in Miracles from Heaven.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. But wasn't she in that Butter movie? Also,
that wasn't bad.
The Sculpting Butter movie.
That was actually like if you look at it at face value,
Sculpting Butter.
Yeah,
yes.
It was like
what
it
are
was,
we talking about?
It was like this independent flick where this small town had like a butter sculpting competition.
What, and they see like Jesus in the butter.
No. It's just like a wacky, but I would almost put it as like with like Best in Show kind
like
of
quirky.
Like it's quirky.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it had like Hugh Jackman and Olivia Wilde and her and somebody. And it wasn't awful.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny.
It's about sculpting butter.
As long
butter.
As they're not making pies.
And this isn't a
not making
and
pies.
Just it's to not, be clear, it's not a euphemism.
Not a euphemism.
Okay.
No.
They're actually sculpting butter.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
like from a cow.
Yeah,
wow,
just
I
a
mean,
giant, like, okay. like yeah. giant slab like it, of table-sized slab of butter.
Yeah, like they make Abraham Lincoln's face out of butter.
It's, you have really bad skin.
Yeah,
just very oily. Yeah.
Number four, 10 Cloverfield Lane, brought in $11.7 million. Its second week in release. That's now at $44.3 million. Couple million foreign, so not really released too wide out there. I don't have a budget on this one. Did you guys have any guesses?
It was
as
like
what?
25.
Yeah, 25 to 30.
It's a one. It's like a stage play, though. It's almost like the whole thing is
almost
on one.
The, whole,
so,
the last 10 minutes.
So
yeah,
I can't have cost. Couldn't have cost that much. I guess.
I have a theory. What if the government? So if Cloverfield happened, right, and the government covered it up. Yeah, that's what
how do you cover that up?
I don't know.
Well, like
there's a whole movie they made
on. Well, like, it's a can of
that's
film.
A lot of,
like, that's the
that's yeah, a lot of I mean, covering for New York City. I mean,
plus, it's like you
Manhattan's sizable.
It's true.
Still took
yeah.
place in 2008. People had phones,
that's
especially
true.
In a city like New York.
New
like
York.
There's, I mean, if
they had iPhone 6s.
So the government Hypno-Ray.
Hypno-Ray. Yeah, I've seen Men in Black 3. Like, they have it. Yeah. Well, Statue of Liberty.
Well, now they're saying, though, it's not a sequel. It's a spiritual successor.
Yeah. If they were just to say,
so in other words,
Cloverfield,
it's a sequel, but don't call us on our continuity.
Right.
Errors.
If they just call it, like, Cloverfield and just say that, like, it's a, like, Tales from the Crypt.
Right.
So, like, that title is just associated with, like, a crazy alien movie. I'd be like, okay. Like, I'd agree with that. But they didn't. So
this
is
just basically a bait and switch. I mean, they kind of just made a movie and put the title on it, and then they're saying it's not.
Kind of, sort of. I mean, it's one of those things where you really won't know for sure until the next one.
Right.
Which is frustrating, unless it's a Superman movie for you, obviously. But, gearing up.
Yep.
Gearing up.
Just dropping them right now.
Yeah.
To save them.
I hope we get a review so we can actually do the episode.
Yeah. Do we all just, like, sit on one side of the table and, like,
Kevin sit over there?
And Counterpoint can sit over there. Because you're already thumbs up.
It's gonna be Frost Nixon. That's what it's gonna be.
I've been like for about half a year now. This guy over here
just all
has
about
been
it,
gushing over this movie.
The bad thing is, though, is if it's not good, it's gonna really be not good. Yeah, like, my expectations are so.
But are you going to own up to it? Or are you going to be all Harry Knowles?
No, absolutely.
It is the most awesome thing ever.
If it's not good, I mean, I've never been one to. I'd be like a fanboy, you know.
All right,
I'm pretty sure your Facebook profile is a picture of Batman.
It does, because I'm excited for the movie, but I haven't seen it yet. I might change that over to a Superman, or I don't know.
That's like Utopia. I mean, they could call it Batman versus Superman, but it's really Joe versus Kevin.
It's pretty much what it is, yeah.
They will sit on the other side of the table.
I think the thing that
table.
Upsets me most about Superman versus Batman is I just hate to see them getting divorced.
It's tough.
It's tough on the kids.
It is.
Yeah.
Batgirl and Robin and Superboy, they don't know any better.
Well, they have the share custody of Robin.
That's
so
true.
Okay.
Well, it depends on which one it is.
That's how they share.
Right. You get the first two, I'll take the second two.
Yeah.
Nobody Cyborg. Wants Does anybody want Cyborg?
Nobody wants Cyborg. Jason Todd.
No. Like, that kid's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, we will see, gentlemen. We will see.
Oh, speaking of which, then they just they said that the R-rated cut is a half an hour longer, but that's only on video, correct?
Yeah, right, there's not going to be an R-rated release.
They're not doing a simultaneous
release. I don't care enough to read any of the articles.
They said that it's going to, like, they cut out, it's a bunch of violence.
Yeah. And Zack Snyder said it's not gratuitous violence. He said it's just tipped the scale enough. He said it's not like you're going to get this director's cut where Batman is punching through people's faces. You know what
the
I mean?
The scale
it's not,
being the bank.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they already filmed it.
I think they're saving the director's cut so they can insert scenes that can correct any plot holes that the public catches.
Right. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that one, the director's cut's going to have Aquaman glowering at Batman, who's glowering at Superman while Wayne Tower's coming down.
Exactly. That's what I think. Yeah. With Flash running around. Just Flash running around in circles.
Yeah.
And I
think
just a half hour of Green Lantern standing above Earth.
I think a director's cut's going to have Superman and Wonder Woman in that kryptonite condom. That's why they can't put it in theaters.
Well, that wouldn't matter if Wonder Woman, you moron.
What?
Her she could take it. Lois Lane couldn't.
Oh, Lois Lane. Sorry, that's right.
Dumbass. Yeah.
Wonder Woman can take a Superman pounding.
That's true.
Lois Lane? Not so much.
That's just
goo.
Yes.
In more ways than one.
Yes.
So,
No.
Oh, so let's
see.
A
shotgun right through her back.
No.
So
and
Deadpool.
Steel woman of tissue.
No.
Deadpool, $8.1 million in week 6. That movie is up to $341 million. How about another $379 million foreign? Bring the worldwide total almost to 3/4 of $1 billion.
It just beat Guardians.
Weeks.
Just beat out Guardians. I think as far as like grossing Marvel movie stuff.
You mean like worldwide?
Yeah.
Nice.
Every Monday, Ryan Reynolds and the director just send an email to all of Fox and that just says ha.
Yeah. I don't know. Then I saw his next I saw the preview for his next movie when I saw this one.
Yeah.
And it's another body switch movie.
Oh.
He is an FBI agent, I think, who knows the location
of
something, and then like his consciousness goes into
Kevin Costner.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's also got Gal Gadot.
I was almost like, did they make a sequel to that really crappy movie?
You know what? Oh, so wait a minute. So that old Kevin Costner action movie thing does have Ryan Reynolds? Because in the preview, I looked, and I'm like, that looked like Ryan Reynolds like in that other movie, but then it was Kevin Costner.
And so right. I think and that I was, he's in it, but I don't think he's...
Just like at the beginning. And
and then
but
he's gone.
That's so funny because I'm like, oh, that must have just been Kevin Costner from a weird angle. Because I'm like, I swear that looked like... I don't even know what that movie was called.
I don't know.
But,
yeah. Face Off 2. Face I don't know.
Yeah.
But Deadpool, you know, over $715 million on a $58 million budget.
That's a win.
I mean, that's incredible.
You know, Rob Layfield's just like...
That's Minions money.
That's exactly that is Minions money.
Yeah, he never thought that would happen. That'd be like if like 20 years from now somebody made a franchise out of real spoilers.
Yeah.
And we're just kind of like, oh god, really? What?
But
all right, cool.
I guess the director Tim Miller isn't going back to special effects work.
Probably not. Probably not.
I wonder what his next movie. You think they'll give him an X-Men movie?
Deadpool 2.
Well, yeah, but you think they'll give him like an X-Men, like a something to revitalize an actual franchise?
I think
you could.
Well, I think Singer's locked in.
Singer on
I don't think.
Yeah. I don't think they feel like X-Men needs to be revitalized.
Not anymore. They did it with First Class. First Class was the quote unquote reboot.
Well, that's true. I mean, Fantastic Four in a few years.
I can't imagine.
Or is that going to Marvel?
Fantastic Four is done at Fox, okay. As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, this is we're in a waiting game on Fantastic Four to see who's going to make a proposition first, Marvel or Fox.
Marvel. Yeah. Where I was like, look. I think here's what I think.
They're going to do the same thing.
What
they
happens
did
with
Spider-Man?
If Spider-Man works,
then they're going to be like, take Fantastic Four.
That's what I think.
Number six, London Has Fallen, with another $6.6 million. That is in week three. That is now at $49.7 million. No foreign gross in a $60 million budget. So that can't be good.
That's what this is.
$45 million on a $60 million budget? Jeez.
No, it's awful. Like The first one was fun, though, right?
The
first one was fun, yeah.
Didn't that make some money?
I don't know.
I guess it must have made something that they made a second one.
Right. Olympus Has Fallen made $161 million on a $70 million budget. Mm. I wonder, where'd they go wrong with this one?
They made a sequel.
Why didn't it work like the first one?
I think that they overestimated the appeal of the first one.
Mm. Yep.
I think people were like, first one was fine,
that was
and
a
I saw it, and then they eked out a win. And they,
what was like? What was that Clive Owen one? That was kind of tongue in cheek. That was it?
Shoot 'em up.
Shoot 'em up.
Yeah,
that's like, awesome.
I'm glad they didn't make a sequel to that.
Yeah.
That
That's like,
I think if you look at the production company, it's Focus Gramercy, and they don't have a lot of movies to make sequels to.
Right.
So they were like,
trying to franchise it.
Yeah, and so
it's like that. What was the other?
They were hoping that there was a deeper love for this movie there than there was.
This movie's called London Has Fallen. It hasn't even had a foreign release. So I mean,
it's like, no, it didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that this does have the potential still being an action movie and, you know, American stars?
It might.
It could get.
It might. You know, it might make enough, you know.
Yeah.
But,
I know is that the next one's Portland Has Fallen. So
yeah.
I think we can see a reduced budget.
Yeah, rein it in.
Yeah, the VOD is like, Peoria's feeling a little wonky.
what was that other Ryan Reynolds?
Smoking Aces?
Yeah.
See, now that didn't need a sequel, and that was awesome.
That first movie is so cool.
It's awesome.
And they sequeled it,
but it went straight to DVD.
I never saw the sequel.
Like, it's got Tom Berenger.
No. But Smoking Aces was awesome. That was a great,
Smoking Aces is a
fun,
cool
just,
movie.
Yeah, stylized. Yeah. It's cool, yeah.
Tom Berenger, the poor man Scott Bakula.
Except for when he made that, but when he was in Inception, it was like... Well, that was kind of brilliant and weird casting Tom Berenger, bringing him, when Nolan brought him in, you're like, really?
Who is he in Inception?
He plays Colin.
The consult.
The dad.
No.
Oh, he's not the dad?
The guy from...
He's the guy who like was his... Like,
he was the business manager.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was weird.
The guy from In the Name of the Father.
That's right. Looked like they squeezed him into that suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number seven, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. WTF happened with that one? $2.6 million in week three, $19 million domestic. So
I've heard a bunch of people that really liked it.
$35 million budget.
I think it was mismarketed, probably.
Mismarketed. Yeah. Came pretty close on the heels of Sisters.
Yeah, I don't think you should release a movie with a comedian like Tina Fey that close to like a... zany comedy,
right,
and then have this totally right, different type yeah, of movie with her. It's just, I think that confuses
people. Well, also, like
people,
I said, the trailers look like it's a zany comedy. Like,
right.
They cut those trailers to make it look like a zany comedy, and it's not.
Which it clearly, yeah, the subject matter is a little more. I mean, even though there are funny parts, but
right,
yeah. But yeah, so they yeah can't be too happy with that one. Number eight, The Perfect Match. That is that brought in $1.9 million its second week. That's up to $7.3 million.
Is that a remake of the... oh, what was that movie? It was with Kirsten Dunst and Paul Bettany, where it's like a love story surrounded by tennis?
It looks like...
Oh, that was a
that's
Match Woody
Point.
Allen movie.
That's
oh,
Scarlett,
Match Point.
That's Scarlett Johansson.
No, I think there's a Kirsten Dunst. It was like... I feel like there's a Kirsten Dunst one in there, too.
Yeah. Oh, I'm thinking of the other Woody Allen one.
Yeah, this is not a Woody
Match
Allen
Point.
Yeah.
Match Point. That was Match
okay.
Point.
That is...
With Scarlett Johansson?
That is Woody. Yeah, that's Woody Allen.
Okay.
Those are both...
Yeah, Match Point, Scarlett Johansson.
All right.
Yeah.
So I feel like there was a Kirsten Dunst one as well.
There was a different one.
I think
yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
I love Match Point. That was a good movie.
Yeah. But this is a tennis movie?
No, but it's not, this has nothing to do with it.
Like, I'm trying to think about what this movie actually is.
Because it's called The Perfect Match, that it's
yeah,
a sequel to Match
like
Point.
Match Point. Yeah.
I thought it was about arsonists.
Yeah, The yeah, Perfect Match. It, you know, they needed the green tip one to light the, that's all. Yeah. And they were trying to find that green yeah, tip match, and it's just tough. But no, I have no idea what it is. It looks like a romance movie. It's a Gary Hardwick movie. Mm. I don't really know much about it, but just looks like kind of a stereotypical romantic comedy type movie.
Okay then.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know. Tom, go see it so we can.
I'll get right on that.
Let's see here, and we're a little out.
Number nine.
The Brothers Grimsby. Brought in $1.3 million. That's a 60% drop.
Can
in
we just
two,
say Sacha Baron Cohen? Nobody cares about his comedies
I
anymore.
I can absolutely
can
say
just,
that.
Yep. Can we just say that that's official?
I mean, holy
absolutely,
crap! I mean, yeah, this movie. I mean, it has Mark Strong in it. There's action. There's comedy. I mean, regardless of being a Sacha Baron Cohen movie, like I would think in 2 weeks it could make more than $5 million. That's
no,
insane. Yeah. That is an insanely small amount of money to make on
the company that does the screenings locally. Not only did they cancel the screening of this movie,
yeah,
they deleted the movie from the list of movies opening.
So you wouldn't even like...
Oh, wow.
Because I was like, I thought that was coming out this week, and it
right,
wasn't on the list.
When
I
you
had
said
to
that
go,
last week, I didn't know what you meant.
I had to
like,
go back to an older email list and be like, okay, this movie was coming out. Like,
and
they
scheduled.
Did, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it... I don't know. And did you see it? No one saw it.
No.
Because well, they canceled the screenings. No. Right. Okay. So, I mean, I didn't really have a huge interest to see it, but I'm like, if I had to, I'm like, it looks like it might be entertaining and have some fun parts. I just, that blows my mind that it made $5 million in 2 weeks.
It really
that
does. Just, like, but I saw no marketing for it.
I saw a decent amount of marketing.
I didn't see anything.
It. Trailers
saw a
before
bit,
every movie. Yeah. It was like Trailer City know, when you went to see movies. It was every single one. I don't know.
That dude doesn't open. He's a good. We talked about it last week. Like John Goodman doesn't open a movie, but he's a solid part. Of, like I don't think Sacha Baron Cohen opens a movie anymore.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
you
he put, had his stick.
You put him with Will Ferrell. You put him with some
his,
of those guys. Okay.
It's Daffy Duck. Drinking gas
yep,
and eating a match.
Yep.
It's a great trick, but he could only do it once.
Yep.
And
true.
And that's it. You know?
Yeah. Like, he just can't do anything
he
else.
He has to return to his Ali G.
But he
Bo
can't.
Red.
Because
why,
everybody knows who it is.
Well, he'll yeah, have to right, have a new character, but I mean, he'll
but,
have to return
okay,
to
but
that.
No, but
even
yeah,
if
but
you come back with a new character, we still know it's Sacha Baron Cohen.
No,
and even
but,
if it's a new character, you're. Yeah. I mean, that's basically saying like, okay, if you want to be successful, you need to capture lightning in a bottle again. And most,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's like, you know, and it's just, it's the same problem Mike Myers has, right? Like, everybody loved Austin Powers, and he didn't want to make nine more of those,
and
so he's like, let's
Peter
do the,
Sellers.
Yeah, let's
yeah,
do the Love Guru, yeah, and then, yeah, and it's,
and, that
and why doesn't he just do Austin Powers again?
Have you seen him?
Yeah, he's not exactly
yeah,
in the best of
that
shapes.
That suit ain't gonna fit.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, is he
yeah,
balloon?
He's
you're gonna
some
need
yeah,
some more velour.
He
oh,
actually,
I didn't
so, you know how Kevin Smith wears hockey jerseys all the time?
Yeah.
So does Mike Myers.
Yeah, Mike Myers wears two.
Yeah.
Those are actually muumuus.
I think Sasha, you know, and true to like following Peter Sellers' career path, which
sure,
was like just, you know, just they were just sort of limping through the final
yeah,
Pink Panthers, and including like the one where they just sort of cobbled together some
yeah, it was just deleted scenes.
Yep.
Yeah,
really?
But oh, then the Pink Panther franchise gets really weird
around mm-hmm, that time. You know, when they did Being There, yeah. which was amazing.
Right.
Sasha might want to go that direction.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe he was going to with that Freddie Mercury thing.
Yeah.
And that got pulled out from underneath
well,
him.
Yeah. I mean,
supposedly
it's,
they wanted, he wanted to make an R version.
That's what
they
wanted,
PG-13. I would have loved to have seen that.
And I'm a huge Queen fan.
Yeah.
But, and they wanted to have Freddie die like in the middle of the movie. And then it was going to be how the band carried on.
Yeah. Which
it was
like, not, it's not about,
no, let's not do that.
It's about Freddie Mercury, not Queen.
Yeah. Because like, you know, I
they wanted to can be, they do just a Freddie, like, does the band have any?
Yeah.
In, so, like, if they just want to say, look, we
you
just
want their
do,
music?
Yeah, if you want the music.
Oh,
yeah.
You
just, and you kind of do.
If
you
want to see a musicless Freddie Mercury movie.
And who would want that?
Nobody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All I can think of that opening
remember
scene.
The,
in,
remember the musicless Jimi Hendrix movie that came out?
Was that the one with Andre 3000?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no music in that movie?
Not it is.
I think the only music they could use is, like, stuff that they could get the rights to that he had covered.
His cover, yeah.
So they could
cover.
Probably play, like, All Along the Watchtower or something.
Wow.
If they, you know, but they couldn't.
Sgt. Pepper.
Yeah, but they couldn't any of his.
No Purple Haze, none of that stuff.
Oh,
wow. That sucks. Angel. It's one of my favorite Jimi Hendrix songs of all time.
Well, maybe he'll go back to Queen and play nice now after.
But who would want to see
that? I don't
want to
see PG-13.
I know. That's too
bad. So that tennis movie that I was thinking of?
Yeah.
Wimbledon.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're thinking of Wimbledon, not Matchpoint.
I can see why.
So not even the movie Match in the title.
No. Yeah. I could picture I could see the box, and I
so
thought it said Matchpoint.
It was almost like they named a movie called
Tennis Movie.
Wait, you could see Kirsten Dunst's box?
Absolutely.
What did you say?
Yeah.
Well, this movie should have been
Wimbledon.
A much bigger hit.
Yeah, it's Wimbledon. Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. That's you're saying that she has a big box? What?
Should have been a bigger
hit.
What are you trying to say?
Why'd you say it twice?
Yeah,
I didn't.
Screw that. Help me find my car keys.
Yeah.
I'll drive out of here.
Like a pencil down a tunnel.
Yeah.
And
just have a board to your ass so you don't fall in. We can do this off the line.
Keep going. And rounding out. Do I have to edit this whole last 10 minutes?
Yes.
And rounding out the top 10, The Revenant still sticking around. $1.2 million.
This is the last week for The Revenant. Let's just say
it wasn't my class ring.
And The Revenant at number 10, if you didn't hear me, $1.2 million, a 42%
we
drop.
We can hear you. There's an echo.
And rounding out the top 10. Yeah, I didn't say anything. That was... but it is at 100...
There's quite a delay in here.
There you go.
$181.1 million domestic.
There you go. It made its 180.
And week 13.
Ooh, we said last week.
Yeah. And but it's got $265 million plus foreign, so we're up to almost $500 million.
How many screens is that still on?
Let's see here. Last week it was on 935 screens.
That's a lot of screens though.
It for is. Week 13. I mean, so obviously that
and as we know, that's theater money.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yep. They're just taking it to the bank.
I heard the Bear just signed a 3-picture deal.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I think they're looking for Yogi.
Yeah. They're going to reboot Yogi and they're going to do
it's a gritty reboot.
Yeah.
He eats the Ranger.
Well, yeah, no. The tagline is barely legal. So.
Yeah. There's a Goldilocks movie.
Yeah. It's all going to be like Snow White and the Huntsman, like that whole thing. Yeah.
Gods of Egypt was number 12. Is anyone surprised by that?
Surprises that high.
The movie, now get this. So it's made under $30 million domestic on its $140 million budget.
Who put that out?
But it's Lionsgate.
But in Egypt, crushing it.
But its foreign box office is $81 million. I mean,
that's why these movies survive. That's exactly why.
It's just like the After Earth stuff. It's like, how... Why do they see these
after
movies?
After Earth.
Earth.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Welcome
Earth.
To Earth.
Did you guys hear about the new Netflix deal?
$90 million.
$90 million for a Netflix movie.
That's
Will
Brian,
Smith.
That's a Brian Spath special right there.
Yeah, written by
Max Landis,
and directed by David Ayer. So.
Which is like those are three. I mean, Max Landis is a big name. I'm sorry, like he is like when you we know who he is.
He's not
right?
a big name,
but I mean that's a big name. That's a big writer. You know, but you get David Ayer and Will, like that's huge.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see if no Hollywood input gives them more freedom, and you get to see Max Landis has less room to bitch if it doesn't turn out well.
True, and
if Netflix just says go,
Netflix doesn't tend to tinker, from what I understand. Yeah,
and Max Landis, we know. I mean, his stuff is kind of quirky. It's not exactly mainstream, and this is supposed to be kind of like a Men in Black. Style, like what would you say? Like it's
the vibe is supposed
to be like Men in Black, where it's kind of zany, not grounded, but
comedic, but not like wacky.
Yeah,
but have moments,
but still
so.
Have. Yeah, so
sounds
we'll see
like his old man.
Yeah,
that's what his old man did.
So. Yeah,
So that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for our box office report. Let's go around the table. And
no, it is. I just said it was.
Okay. Okay.
There's no need to guess. I mean, it is. Okay. Yeah, no.
Well, you never know with us. So.
And number 13. Oh, yeah. Crap. Sorry.
Coming in at number 119, 9 to 5.
See, usually you just cut.
The 25th anniversary edition.
What the listeners don't know is usually cut my mic and I just go to number 100
There's no stopping him. He's a machine. That's why Katie said yes. So we will go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS 21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, we will be there waiting for you at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers or on Twitter at RealSpoilers or you can email us at RealSpoilers@ReviewSTL.com. Also, don't forget, we're available on the iTunes, so you can go there and rate and review and subscribe us. If you would like to us to actually do a Superman episode next week, a couple reviews would be nice. So.
Also, I'm thinking we better start threatening Joe to start sneaking in and downloading the music for him if they don't subscribe on iTunes.
Oh, I was like, what?
Remember how he used to sneak in and download the music on their music rectangle box?
Magic music rectangle.
That's some old school.
If you don't want Joe coming back in, subscribe.
So better have Batman versus Superman cereal in your house, too. Otherwise, I'm going to be pissed.
And whole milk. None of this skim
stuff. Yeah.
So anyway, those are some homework for you. So you can join the League of Show Sharers, and while you're at the Facebook page, just press the share button and let your friends see that you listen to the show. If you want to write a little nice note with them so they know why you're sharing it, that probably wouldn't be a bad idea either. So that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next episode, we will take on Divergent Allegiant Part 1 of 19, whatever the hell it is. So you've been warned.
The Honeymooners, with the stars Art Carney, Audrey Meadows, Joyce Randolph, brought to you by your Buick dealer, and away we go!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.